All right, cool. What are we doing this time?
Well, Gary, we're about ready to step out onto the stage for the big show. I have been called up into the blues circuit.
Oh, hey, congratulations. It's been your dream.
Yeah, I know, right? Performing under the name Sugarbone. Everything's turning up, Cole.
Sugar Hog.
not Sugar Hog, no.
Sweet Hog.
Yep.
Hog. Splendidick.
Yeah, there we go. Hog being my preferred term for dick these days. We're going out there. I'm going to be playing harp. That's what that's what blues people call their harmonica. And I want to try and merge these two careers. You know, get a little bit of crossover, get some synergy, get some balance in my life. And so for the randomization, I've taken this harmonica. I'm going to give it a blow, give it a toot. Oh, thank you for harmonizing with my harmonica.
No problem.
Yeah. And I've filled each of the little reed holes with a tiny little scroll. I'm just gonna blast one note and we're gonna see what comes out the other side.
Do you think reed holes is what maniacs call people before they skull fuck them? Like, I'm gonna get you in the reed holes.
No, I think that's what the leader of the Fantastic Four calls his ass.
Oh yeah, I guess that is true.
Yeah, so I'm going to give this another toot here. Okay, I'm going to pick this up. It's about the size of a piece of paper. Is about the size of like a fortune cookie. Around here.
Okay.
It's Hudson Hawk.
Yeah, fuck.
Why do you have to remind me that I will never be good as Bruno Fate?
Bruno Fate.
That's the name of his fourth album. Bruno's your destiny.
Bruno Fate is gonna fuck you in the reed holes.
No, Bruno Fate. It's his double album, except it's two different versions. So it's Bruno Fate's.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
Like Chris Gaines.
So my mom is a big country music fan, and
that's what moms do, man. Yeah. Like, it's a bummer.
You know, but just she has been, you know, forever. Like, I remember being driven to preschool listening to Achy Breaky Heart. You know, it's mm-hmm. it's just a thing, right? I made a joke, like, offhandedly saying, yeah, I don't know, I'm hearing a lot of good stuff about Garth Brooks, but I really like Chris Gaines. You know, like, yeah. It's barely even a joke. It's just more of like a, I'm pretending to be ignorant about this. She's like, oh, okay, well, that's fine. And I, through the course of the discussion, she never put it together that Garth Brooks and Chris Gaines were the same person.
Oh, that's amazing.
I know,
did
right?
Did she ever find out? Because it would be like having a whole new album. Because I've heard that Chris Gaines album. And it's not that different than Garth Brooks.
Right. Like, Chris Gaines, who decided, or Garth Brooks decided, I want my alter ego to be Australian.
It's a really amazing move. Yeah. My mom, I've talked about this before, but my mom loves Garth Brooks, and she, like, a joke that she likes to make a lot is that he's my actual father. And there is a copy of the Chris Gaines album that has just been a weird, like, my mom doesn't listen to CDs. I don't know that she has a CD player. I think she just listens to, like, she puts on the music channel on satellite TV.
Okay.
You know, to listen to music. But yeah, there's just
that,
been
that,
a
that
CD
exists solely for moms and grandmas.
Yeah, it is a real mom way to listen to music. And she has this, like, permanent copy of that CD case that has been in her living room, like, on a Surface for years.
Oh, like,
no joke, like 15 years.
The dust around it has stained.
Well, it moves.
Okay.
Like not on its own, but it moves, like, every time I come in, that CD case of the Chris Gaines, like, just his, like, idiot dark, you know, fuck you dad face, just staring back at me, like, whenever I look down at the coffee table or an end table or the other end table, It is always there. I don't know what it's doing there. Like, I think she just likes to look at it.
Okay.
And I'm not trying to make like a gross mom, like I'm not making jokes about my mom having sex thoughts. I think that she just likes to look at it because she thinks Garth Brooks is so handsome.
Okay.
That she just wants to like just stare at this like CD insert of Chris Gaines.
Yeah.
Like,
huh.
I mean, that's all.
Most people get posters.
Yeah, I should get her a Chris Gaines poster.
Oh, that would be such an easy Christmas gift to do. Get a one-off print. Yeah.
I got them. I haven't given it to them yet because we do our gifts like way late and I didn't feel like putting it together in the mail and stuff, but I bought her and my stepdad like cheapo tablets.
Okay.
Cuz they like playing like shitty like slot machine games and stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought like, "Oh, I'll enable them to play this shit in bed." But I should just load it up with like the results of a Google image search of Chris Gaines. Like, just give her the internet in your pocket, but it only accomplishes the functions of a Google image search for Chris Gaines. Like, I guarantee she would think that was a really good gift. Or, like, I got an electronic frame that just switched between pictures of Chris Gaines.
That is also acceptable.
Yeah, that would be a very funny thing to get her, that she would genuinely cry at the thought of.
You would make her so happy, Gary.
But there's a weird, like, gray edge that silver cloud, because I think it's really funny and would make fun of her. I mean, I guess I don't know if I'm making fun of her now. I think it is a very funny idea that she'd be that into it.
Right.
You know, so I guess it's making fun of her. I don't know.
I don't know.
I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering, the show where we play shitty games so you don't have to.
Yes. Why are you doing this to us?
Yes, because Hudson Hawk's real bad.
Hudson Hawk. Why don't you describe what Hudson Hawk is while I pull up the spreadsheet that says who suggested this?
It is kind of a puzzle platformer.
More broadly, not just this particular thing, but like the Hudson Hawk kind of like the mythos. Brand. Yeah, yeah.
So Hudson Hawk is an infamous flop movie from the early 90s starring Bruce Willis, where he plays a jewel thief. It has a like 4-minute uninterrupted musical number
cutting back and forth between him and Danny Aiello singing.
Yep. Singing while breaking into a place. It is excruciating. You get a high five from me if you can get through it. It is a real tube tolerance test kind of thing, I think. It's an infamously bad movie that has developed kind of a cult following, or kind of a like people like it cause it's goofy.
Yeah.
But it is legendarily kind of bad. Mm-hmm. And weirdly enough, has a game that's on every weird British computer system and the NES and Game Boy.
Yeah. So this was suggested by Mike. Thank you, Mike. It's weirdly kind of in line with the movie, right? Because in the movie, he is a retired cat burglar who's brought back into the game trying to find Da Vinci's stuff. And this is kind of a puzzle platformer stealth kind of game, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of different mechanics on offer here, and like none of them are good. But it would be kind of an interesting game if it controlled a little bit better.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get your hawk to Hudson the way you want him to. Like,
it's probably Hudson one hog. Hawk Hudson. Yeah. is that one of the, oh, is that the joke? Is Hudson one of the key commands in falconry?
Oh, I don't know.
God, man, what I would pay. Okay, so I'm going to say this thing, and I think that it's going to, like, this is going to have a very easy answer. But, like, if I could take up falconry, that would probably be the hobby for me. That's the one that would finally take.
I don't know that that's a question, so I don't know if that has an answer.
Yeah, but
falconry rules.
Yeah. I guess the question is, how hard would it be to take up falconry? I imagine it is both more complicated, but also more simple. Like, if it was something that I set my mind to, I could probably establish some kind of like amateur falconry. Like, I could find an aviary and just kind of like get a falcon companion, easier than you would think, but still in a more complicated way.
I mean, the falcon, first of all, like, you got to buy a falcon.
Right.
You know, and you have to have a place to keep a falcon.
You don't have to just buy a falcon, you have to raise a falcon, because he has to associate you as his source of nourishment, not what he's hunting. So he will go and catch you a vole, but you have to feed him yourself.
And you have to eat the vole.
Right, so, to establish dominance.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander when it comes to falconry.
I'm not talking about raising a goose, Gary. There are plenty of geese. Okay.
I want to get a falcon to raise me. I want a falcon to practice Gary-ry.
Like he's got a little rubber glove on one talon.
Yeah, and I just go over there and like hold his hand, and then he goes and catches me voles.
Yeah. And then you feed it to him. No. He just goes scree, and then you go and you pick up some jerky and bring it back. And then he picks up like a little Cheeto with his beak and like puts it in your mouth.
And I'm very grateful for that Cheeto.
Yep.
And then he puts a blindfold on me and I go back to sleep.
Because you think it's night.
Done. Solved. Light complete.
we have established what the ultimate goal is. Gary, you and I, all right?
Yes.
If this ends up working, if we can save up a nest egg, we buy a cabin in Wyoming, okay, and we start up a falconry school.
Yes.
Okay. No question, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I love falconry, man. There's a Renaissance fair that when I went on my birthday last year in Oregon, and I'm gonna see if I can get people to go again, primarily for watching vultures do cool shit.
Nice.
And peregrine falcons be beautiful. And like the best creature.
Yeah, be just like, hey, here's this awesome thing. Here's this majestic thing that answers to me.
And it wears that cool little helmet. Like like Falcon's Fashion Souls game is on point.
Yep.
It is really amazing. Like like no other like animal raising has that cool of accessory. It's like you get a cow, you get that weird gun that puts a bolt through their head. That's not a cool accessory.
No. And like owning a horse, that's really more about clothes for yourself. You know?
Yes. Yeah. You get to dress a certain way when you own a horse.
Yeah.
And horses are cool.
Yeah.
I mean, like I'm down with horses.
Yeah.
Other than the fact that I find their willies intimidating, but like,
it's a power play that God plays on us.
100%. Like check out these web dings. You're not going to like it. That's what horses say to you. But like,
I've noticed you've been using web dings as slang for dick lately.
You're on a real hog face. I'm in a web dings face. Yeah. I like web ding because it includes the entire package. Like it's not just about the dick. It's about whatever you got going, and it's gender neutral. Like it just
Yeah.
Like check out the web dings on that lady. Like
yeah.
You know, I like how it's a bracket with which to put content. but falconry. We're really cool. I think we're both on the same page about how cool falconry is.
Okay,
I think.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how many long-term agreements have we entered into? Because I know that there is an implicit skull exchange that's going on. Mm-hmm. We have a falconry school set up. Like somebody needs to go back and like actually find all the stuff we've agreed to.
Yeah. Like if, cause I'm never going to make the duck feed wiki. Like I'm not going to encourage anyone to do that. That's a lot of work.
No. Yeah.
But I'm never going to do it.
No, neither am I.
If we were ever going to find out, that would be,
yep,
it would be somebody else. So I don't know how many long-term agreements. I think only the most recent one is really binding.
Yeah.
So depending on when this episode comes out, it's either going to be the chain nipple thing from the exquisite suffering or this falconry school. Come on, falconry school.
Yeah. One of us is going to get the short end of that stick or the short 100%. End of that chain.
chain of fools. So Hudson Hawk. The Nintendo game is like kind of interesting, but like does Hudson Hawk have a weird sense of momentum to him.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
He has the most ineffectual jump of any game we've played, I think.
Yeah. He jumps, but you can get him to jump well. You just have to get a lot of run up.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot more than you think.
Yeah.
And it's not up to you. It's not like you press B to run. You just after like a couple inches, he starts sprinting.
Right.
Yeah.
He has and weirdly, he has a very good croucher. Like he crawls at the same speed that he walks, which kind of makes me think that Bruce Willis has he has knees that can bend backwards like a dog's.
Yeah, like a table.
Yeah.
Like a crab boy.
Yeah, he's an exorcist.
Yeah. He can move around really well. And this little like super deformed little Bruce Willis is kind of like charming. Like when I first started this, I was like, is this actually a good game? Like the music is good.
Oh yeah.
It has that weird, cause you could tell this used to be a Commodore game cause it has that Commodore style composition.
Yes, it does. Although the loop is way too short.
It's really short. It's like good sounds, but it's too much. I think, I agree with you there.
Yeah.
But How far did you get into Hudson Hawk?
Okay, so I got into the building. Yep. I got down the elevator. There is one gap that it forces you to jump that has a gunman on the other side, and mm-hmm. one of those one of those artifacts that shows whoever designed this game doesn't know how security cameras work. Because yes. yeah. the security cameras, they don't just like, you know, take a picture and like bring some enemies out after you. They shoot lasers.
And it makes you restart the level, which I didn't realize I was losing a life at that point, but that's what's happening.
Yeah. So that's as far as I got.
Yeah, me too. Like, I know the exact point, and that's how far I got as well. I watched somebody play it for a while and skipped around, like watching a long play of it. The end of this game is insane. Like, what you're trying to do is get these Da Vinci artifacts and stuff. And at the end, you are getting this like amazing machine thing that has this star crystal in it, called the mirrored crystal. And it is just really elaborate for the Hudson Hawk Nintendo game. Like,
if I didn't know this was a movie, visually elaborate or like just conceptually. Well,
who would have thought this is what Hudson Hawk, the Nintendo game, is doing? You know, like, you have to go get Da Vinci's weird power crystal from, like, the, you know, it is just a really elaborate sci-fi thing.
Yeah.
And I was, you know, very surprised.
It's very much like Indiana Jones and the Emperor's Machine or whatever it is.
Like, level 3, the opening text scroll: Hawk, your final task is to enter Leonardo da Vinci's castle in search of the mirrored crystal. Obtaining this crystal is the only way of destroying the gold machine and the alchemy project. The economic fate of the world is in your hands. Like, what?
I think that might actually be the plot of the movie, though.
No, I think it is, too. I think it's somebody gets Da Vinci's secrets to turn lead into gold and is going to destroy the world's economy. Right. Is the plot of Hudson Hawk. Like, that's really weird.
And Danny Aiello sings.
Yeah, and Danny and the Bruce.
Yeah, well.
And the wolf.
It's hard to tell if he's Bruce or Bruno at that point.
Yes. Yeah, it's very, very similar. Yeah. I don't want to spend too much time on it, because we can get back to Falconry. I don't want to burn this too quick, but because I'm already looking at it, it's been a real long time since we've had some Game Facts Gold.
Yes, I was wondering. I saw you mention this in Slack, and I had no idea which game this was going to be.
It is. It's real special. So the this guy, Adam L., who did the fact for Hudson Hawk, it's the only one on Game Facts, is the hero we need. So let me read the introduction for you. Hudson Hawk. I've only seen parts of the movie, but what I did catch looked pretty cheesy. I like Bruce Willis, but from what I gather from reading a review on IMDb, you either loved or hated this movie. I guess the same could be said for the NES game, which I don't think anyone loves it. Though I don't think anyone loves it. So, you know, contradicting the sentence you just had before, but that's okay. The first time I played this, I played it for 5 minutes before pulling the card out of the NES and favorite something else, blah, blah, blah.
Such a boring story. Oh, my God.
It keeps going. A month later, I just read through the manual, which could have been 10 pages longer, blah, blah, blah. Keeps going. He cheats to get through it. The final paragraph, though, is the clincher for this intro. In my ongoing quest to find obscure games to write walkthroughs for, I believe Hudson Hawk will be a solid contribution to my anonymity as a video game fact writer. I have probably heard this game mentioned twice, maybe 3 times in my 5 years on the net, and none of it has been favorable. So I guess someone has to show it some love. Don't quote me on this, but I believe this is the only video game where you get to visit the Vatican, and not even Wisdom Tree games had a Vatican stage.
Winky
but yeah,
face
this is contributing.
Emoticon.
Yes. Contributing to his anonymity. And it's I don't want to make fun of him too much for not knowing what that word means.
Well, it could be a Freudian slip. He might have been thinking like infamy. Ignominy, I think is the, like, yeah. I can never say that word out loud.
His ongoing quest.
My ongoing quest to be as unnoticeable as possible.
Or even just to be as noticeable as possible as a Game Facts writer. Like, that is a sad quest, buddy.
So let's take a look here. I about thought that he wrote 4 facts for Rockin' Cats, but no. But no, he just contributed some PNG images of some cheat codes.
Those
for
cats,
that.
Cats will rock.
Yes, exactly.
He's got a fact at the bottom, which there isn't too much. Like, it's actually just a straight fact until it gets to the end here. Where is the one?
Is this where he thanks Bruce Willis?
No, I'm getting to that. Oh, here we go. The question where he says, why is Hawk stealing all this stuff? I thought he was one of the good guys. Read the story section for full rundown.
Say it ain't so, Hawk.
Yeah. In no universe did somebody ask you that. In Adam L., There is not in the universe of possibilities. Like, there's always a lighthouse and there's always a girl. There is not always a universe where someone read this Hudson Hawk back and said, wait a minute. I thought Hudson Hawk was a good guy. Why is he stealing stuff?
Like, you know, somebody who's set their moral compass to the version of Hudson Hawk that is presented in the synopsis, but contradicted in the body of the text.
That's incredible. And then acknowledgments. Thanks to Bruce Willis, simply for being associated with Hudson Hawk. Too bad the character in the game looks nothing like you.
He's thanks got a point.
Well, sure. Thanks to Image Soft for pumping out another mediocre movie-based NES title. They also brought us Cliffhanger, Bram Stoker's Dracula, Hook, and Last Action Hero. If I didn't know any better, and maybe I don't, I think that they formed some kind of alliance with OceanSoft to bring us every early 90s movie out there for the NES. Don't even mention LJN to me. note, after writing the previous paragraph, I noticed that the title screen of the game, that Ocean was responsible for developing and designing this game. Well, okay, good. And thanks to the NES mailing list. Cool, can we get on that mailing list? I was just thinking, like, it'd be pretty cool. Yeah. Some hot scoops.
The NES mailing list, I suppose. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's one of the few places where anybody's heard anybody mention this game, so.
It is true, and we can increase our anonymity.
Yeah. It'd be hard. Let's see here. No, so in looking at the rest of his oeuvre, his body of work, he's written some facts for A Week of Garfield.
Oh, cool.
I can't remember. I think that here we go. I think he says, you remember he's the one who said, acknowledging any Garfield fan out there who can send me the names of the boss cats. That fat blue thing with the patch has to have a name. And he also wrote a fact for Monster Party, but there's not too much. All of these share kind of the same.
Cheetah Men too. Yeah.
Yeah, all of his facts share kind of the same the same format. I don't know. So like, we've talked about this every once in a while, and because it's been a while since Game Facts Gold has come up, I need to reiterate my bafflement, which is
real quick before you go into that.
Okay.
Just because I think it's going to add to your bafflement.
Okay.
He wrote all these game facts. He also included NES game endings fact that is 1,254K compared to the average height of the rest of them, which is about 20.
Right.
That is hundreds of pages long.
Oh, Jesus.
That tells you what happens at the end of NES games. Not all of them, but it looks like maybe all of them.
That has no, it's not a collaboration. Oh my God.
Yeah, that's insane.
I thought that, like, I saw that, and he did one for the Sega Genesis as well. And I thought that he was I thought that was like he probably like contributed some of the oh my God, Gary.
Yeah, this guy.
This
guide will be for the gamer who is wondering how much further he has to go in the game if there are multiple endings and if the game ending changes depending on difficulty.
So he made like the run P of NES games.
Yeah. This is insane.
Yeah, no, all of the wind actually came out of that thing I was going to say because this actually has me worried, and not like a haha mental illness kind of thing, but more like we're dealing with somebody who doesn't have their faculties, I think. Not to be like paternalistic about it, but like this is indicative of an unwell person.
He didn't he didn't actually play all these games. He just looked up their endings and wrote a bunch of paragraphs about them.
But still,
it's still really intense. This is a very intense document.
Oh my God.
Like, this is going to be found print out on the floor of a shack.
Yeah, no, this is going to be wallpapering a shack.
Yeah, this is very intense. My shack. My falconry shack.
Yeah.
The wallpaper is there so I can shit and my master can clean it up more easily.
So I guess I'm gonna go into what I was gonna say, which is like, anytime we get those facts that start with "I hate this game, I don't see why anybody would play it, it's terrible, it's known for being a bad thing that nobody should spend time on," and then they say, "Well, here we go," and then they present a document which is so thorough that you know they spent 20 hours making it.
Yeah,
and it's like, is the only like, if this was a blog post like that somebody had made about this game, is it just the permanence of the fact being there and the fact that everything looks like it was made in 1998 that kind of like lends to these facts having more gravity in my mind on an initial read than probably they should be treated with?
Well, it's not a blog post because it requires, like, writing a fact for a thing is, you know, more than a review.
Yes.
Like I think that what you're picking up on is the amount of commitment it takes to actually figure the shit out.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm just wondering how much is, so we have these guides, it is harder. I'm just wondering how much that sense of, kind of gravitas or commitment is blown up by the form, or, you know, exaggerated by the form.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that definitely could be the case. This is a weird, like, these things are a weird example of something that takes a lot of effort, but, like, some of these people are feeling an undue amount of pride.
Yeah.
Like that, like they have an effort to pride ratio mm-hmm. that is 1-to-1, whereas that's, you know, not actually the case.
Yeah.
Like there are things that are very hard that maybe you shouldn't be this proud of, no matter how much time it takes, you know? And this is one of those things, I think.
Which, you know, so I'm taking a shit on facts here. Even though really this sentiment only applies to facts of bad games, you know, like we have here, like, you know, I don't know how necessary this information is. I'm happier that a fact exists than a YouTube video of it.
Oh, 100%.
You know, like, I wish that there were more facts than there were, like, wikis. Right.
Me too. Yeah. So this guy also, like, this guy is possibly, you know, not doing great and feels a little bit bad to make fun of him. For a little more classic, game facts gold, we have this review from Jim Fish. I'm not going to read this whole thing, but it is the other form of game facts problem, where it is this language or this level of tone.
Do you want me to start up some classical music, get some Vivaldi under this?
With lightning quick action and blistering agility, he swings across the courtyard, his rope like a knife cutting through the blackened skyline and over the oblivious buffoon guards below, and lands gracefully upon a ledge. With a smirk and a nudge, he's through a window and stands before his prize. With a song in his heart and a spring in his step, he nabs the loot and makes a hasty retreat to the night sky again.
This is so bad. Stop.
Can you catch the hawk?
I'm so bored. Stop it.
First things first, when I went to see Hudson Hawk, I was excited. How could you not be? It was the early 90s. Bruce Willis is at the top of his game, climbing the ranks of Hollywood after having made his movie.
I don't care. I know who Bruce Willis is. He's one of the biggest movie stars.
TV show Moonlighting to iconic wisecracking action hero John McClane in both Die Hard and Die Harder. big stars are always a must to draw in the crowds. What else made me squeal in delight as I waited in line to see this movie? The character. Who could not love a cheeky, globe-trotting cat burglar who goes around singing show tunes and rattling off one-liners? He even has a fedora. I didn't make that up, dude.
He said yeah, like, as it was a plus.
Like, that's a line in this fucking review, dog. That's like Indiana Jones, but 10 times as awesome. It's incredible.
Metal Gear had already been out for a few years and proved pretty popular. Why not go for a stealth game in that line? Oh, well, I guess it's a bit futile to complain about a game that's more than 15 years old now, but you're writing a 1-star review. Yeah, yeah.
It is a bit futile. Oh, well.
Instead of having the self-awareness to say, yeah, I probably shouldn't do this.
I'm already 6,000 words into this intro, though, so in for a penny, in for a pound. He wrote a fact for Indigo Prophecy. I was really hoping it was a review.
No.
Sadly, it is a walkthrough for Indigo Prophecy.
Mr. Jim Fish.
Yeah. Indigo Prophecy is the brainchild of David Cage.
Imagine how excited I was to notice that the game started in a bathroom. Bathrooms are where so many of us spend much of our time.
Can you imagine? Imagine. I can't even imagine how excited you were, Jim. It's where so much I squealed with delight when I saw that Hudson Hawk would be visiting a bathroom. How could I not?
I achieved 100% erect status right away.
Oh man.
This guy, so this fucker, also wrote an incomplete fact for Big Mother Truckers.
Yeah. He could complete this and Indigo Prophecy, but not Big Mother Truckers.
Jesus.
Oh, Hudsy. Oh, the last little bit of Game Facts Gold, I forgot about this, is that if you read the topics for the message board, it forms a really, like, schizophrenic, like, mm-hmm. full sentence. Greatest movie ever. Sorry. Yes. This game. Sorry. No. This is a game. So
it's just a line. I understand. This is a game. I'm sorry. No. What? No. This is Hudson Hawk. Sorry, Bruce Willis. Yes. Yes. No. Yes. It's a game. No. Sorry. Sorry.
Poorly designed boss. I love how my mom often says sorry. And it's two different people too who are apologizing. Like,
are they us?
No. I wish. Some guy named Scumbag.
Scumbag.
Scumbag is his game facts handle.
Hmm.
But yeah, this is Hudson Hawk.
This Hudson Hawk. We've said so little about the game. My first impression with it actually left a pretty good I had a little bit of a goodwill reserve, because most of the time you're fighting dogs, like, you know, Bruce Willis's main enemies here are like household animals.
Yes.
Instead of, you know, like in real life, where the enemy is the indifference of the American public. Yes. But the first enemy is a dog who will drag you off of a rooftop and throw you to street level.
Off a building. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's trying to get you off of the couch.
Yeah. I like that too. And you don't murder the dog. You just bump him on the head with a baseball, which the Wikipedia puts that. It says Hudson Hawk throws a quote unquote ball at the
some sort of spheroid, say like a cop. We have a confrontation with some sort of spheroid object.
Yep. It does seem like, I like how nonviolent it was, except that it is violent, because I think that actually is hurting you when you fall off. Like, I died without ever feeling like I took damage. I thought it was just making me start over.
Well, no,
there's no life meter or life counter or anything.
There is a life meter. It's in the pause screen.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, it's just not on the screen. I wonder if that actually is a holdover from like one of the weird British microcomputers.
Yeah, ZX Spectrum.
Yeah, like we couldn't spare the sprites for a HUD,
or the controller like didn't. Yeah, that makes sense, because you can punch in this game, but the way you do it is hold down the attack button.
Oh,
so if you tap, you throw a ball. If you hold it down, you actually punch. So if you want to walk around punching wiener dogs, like, this is your game. But yeah, it's fucking weird, man.
So did you know that The Return of Bruno was a comedic film about the rise of Bruce Willis's alter ego Bruno? Sorry, I'm fascinated by this side of him.
the Bruno side?
Yeah, the Bruno side of Bruce Willis, because Bruce Willis honestly doesn't appeal to me at all.
Nope.
Not as an actor. Like, watching the preview for this just made me think, like, people call this movie cheesy, but like, that's all he ever does is mug to the camera, you know?
He's not,
like,
a good actor.
He's never disappeared into a role. He's got the range of a Daisy air rifle.
Yeah.
So like, but Bruno, and just the sheer audacity of, like, I'm gonna work with HBO to get people to get these famous musicians to kind of just build up and reinforce my delusions of being a musician. So we've got Elton John, Phil Collins, Brian Wilson, Grace Slick, Joan Baez, John Bon Jovi, Paul Stanley, the Bee Gees, Graham Nash, Stephen Stills, and Ringo Starr paying tribute to Bruno.
That's really surprising. Cole, this version of Under the Boardwalk starts with a sketch. Like, here, listen, it starts with the main character talk. Listen to this.
Hey, what's up,
Under the Boardwalk.
Hey, Bruno. Not down here with us under the boardwalk.
We all float down here, Bruno.
Bruno, you hanging out down here with the musicians under the boardwalk?
Huh. And so most of the songs on Bruno's album, they're just covers.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. His follow-up was much less successful. If it don't kill you, it just makes you stronger. And okay. That is not covers.
There's nothing worse than an actor who gets into like the blues or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, goes full Paltrow. Yeah.
Yeah, it is the worst.
Yeah. Goes full Aykroyd rather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, do not Aykroyd yourself. Not dog star yourself.
A couple of choice tracks from If It Don't Kill You, It Just Makes You Stronger, the 1989 album by Bruno or Bruce Willis. We've got Turn It Up (parentheses a little louder).
Okay.
Blues for Mr. D and Barnyard Boogie.
Ah. God, I'm watching him do a live performance of Under the Boardwalk.
Uh-huh.
And it is excruciating. Like, he is doing the same thing he does. He's like introducing all of the actual musicians who are going to do Under the Boardwalk with him.
Mm-hmm.
Who are now going, hey, Bruno. And his like shit-eating grin, like he belongs there, is making me physically ill.
Yeah. It's
go lay down.
Go back to sleep, Bruce Willis.
Yeah. You've been deactivated. What's your sleep phrase?
There's a fantastic video that I watched that was just terrible. It was kind of a similar thing. It was Ricky Gervais who was using his kind of clout as a Hollywood funny person to like mm-hmm. have like this talk show panel. It was between him, Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld, and Louis C.K. I think, yeah.
Yeah, I've seen, yeah.
Yeah, and like, he, by him being on there, he was talking to them as though they were peers. And it's like, yes. like, Extras is funny, and The Office is funny. I don't know that you can stand toe-to-toe with Chris Rock and say, like, no. Our experience as stand-up comics. Like, yeah. That is so self-aggrandizing that I just can't stand it.
You can't even stand up to, like, with Jerry Seinfeld, you know?
Yeah.
Like, is this weird, like... Yeah, I mean that's a big topic for the beginning of an episode rather than the end of an episode. But like that whole thing, there's a similar musical thing. Did you mm-hmm. see the thing where it was like Jack White, God, like Jimmy Page, or Robert Plant, whichever one's the guitar player, and then some other like famous guitar guy, and they put together a little like HBO special that was like, what if these three guys hung out and kind of played guitar and talked about it a little bit?
Yeah, and, I saw that. Yeah.
And it was just like, you know, one, like Jack White, like you're a good guitarist too, but you're putting yourself up here with like, you know, and then two, it is also excruciating to watch.
John as Daly Jack White is.
Yeah, 100%. Like that is a hard man to look at. The John Daly did a podcast for a while, and he did an episode that was like a fake version of this, mm-hmm. and it was so good. Where it's just like guys just being like, man. You know how sometimes you just get like, and then, you know, the guitar would come in and it was real good. Funny shit. And these four horns play around this cover of Under the Boardwalk and Bruno.
They're just getting a paycheck, you know?
Oh, Kevin Costner and I didn't know Kevin Costner pulled the shit. Kevin Costner and Modern West doing a song called Red River. Well, guys, stop doing this.
Yeah.
Like,
well, you had Johnny Depp. He bought a club so he and his band could play.
Yeah, that is. I'm sure all these people are here because they like our music. This is the one thing about that Billy Bob Thornton thing. You know where like Billy Bob Thornton got really upset because the interviewer asked about him being Billy Bob Thornton rather than just talking about his band.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like one like I kind of get it, but also shut the fuck up, dude. Like yeah. you are fooling yourself. Like that is an amazing level of self-deception if you think that you have success as a band that is independent of your success as an actor.
Yeah,
like even if you're decent, like it is like it requires a lot of luck and a lot of time to become a successful musician.
Mm-hmm.
And you put your time and luck into being a successful actor and you're just parlaying this into a vanity project that is sad and pathetic.
getting indignant because you can't you can't control the narrative.
Yeah that stuff's repulsive.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's wrap this shit up.
Yeah, let's do that. I just got sad between the Game Facts Gold and this.
Yeah, kind of just like Jesus Christ, guys. Like, and it just you can just see the wheels of like the ego treadmill kind of going.
Mm-hmm.
You know where it's like, I understand that, but I don't sympathize with that. I think that like your job as a person who creates stuff
mm-hmm.
or part of that is to like kill the part of you that always wants more. Like if it can never be enough. If praise or anything can never be enough,
mm-hmm.
Stop making stuff because you're like, you were just setting yourself up for failure.
Right.
You know, like Billy Bob Thornton, you're a really well-respected actor.
Yeah. And like, that is pretty cool. You can be, you can be grateful that somebody even wants to talk with you.
And you can be, if you want to play music, that's cool too.
Yeah. No,
you
know, like I would never rip the guitar out of Billy Bob Thornton's hand. He's an actor who I really enjoy.
But don't pretend like, you know, you have to be this polymath who's amazing at everything and has mm-hmm. earned 100% of the opportunities that you have in both spheres.
It's the James Franco problem.
Yeah. Yeah. That guy. Yeah. And like you get, there's a way to do it too. Like this is the weirdest, like the amount of sugar I talk about this guy is doesn't make any sense for who he is.
Okay.
But Jared Way, who's the guy from My Chemical Romance,
okay,
is a really good comics writer.
Oh, wow.
Like that's what he wanted to do. Mm-hmm. He parlayed that success, but he's not a dickhead about it. Like he's just like, hey, I got a chance to write this comic I want to write. He wrote a really cool comic and then wrote a sequel. And now he's putting out more comics, you know, and like that's what he always wanted to do. But he's just like not a shithead about it.
Yeah.
And like, I have no interest in My Chemical Romance. I don't think they're good, but he would never be like, you know, like don't talk to me about my band in this interview.
Those two seem disparate enough that like that would never cut. Like one context would never come up in the other.
Yeah. Yeah. And comics are just such a smaller thing.
Yeah.
Than like music and movies, you know, which are the two biggest like things, you know, and the biggest things are different enough. It's not just movies and TV,
yeah,
you know, but it's not like Bryan Cranston's going to do an interview and be like, don't ask me about fucking Chumbo or whatever. You know, this is only about Breaking Bad. If you talk about Trumbo, then you're out.
Right.
Like Trumbo is on the table, dog.
Trumbo is on the table.
Trumbo stays in the picture.
Thank you. Oh my God. You knew exactly what to say at that point, didn't you? That was a laser targeted goof specifically for Cole, combining both Trumbo and the kid stays in the picture. Whoa!
Yeah, I know your legendary love of Trumbo.
Not Trumbo, but I was more responding to the kid stays in the picture.
Yeah, no, I just think Trumbo. I think Trumbo is real. It's real good.
Yep.
It's very funny. It's like a movie came out named Trumbo. Like Brayton went and saw it, and I was like, "What did you do today, Brayton?" He's like, "Yeah, I went and saw Trumbo." What the fuck? Like, that's not a thing that happens.
That sounds like one of those fake movie titles from Seinfeld.
100%. Like just, you know, like a black, like white text on a black screen that just says Trumbo.
Like the beer cans from Repo Men.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for suggesting this.
Yeah.
I don't have the name handy anymore.
it was our good friend Mike. Thanks, Mike.
Mike. Thank you very much, Mike. If you like the show and would like to support it and get an extra episode per month, you can do those things at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Yeah.
We have a bunch of new shows that will come out with enough support, and we really want to make them. And we hope that if you do not already support the show, please consider doing it, because even a little bit counts.
Yeah.
And it makes a big difference.
Yeah. So if you want to hear Gary and I talk about Monster Manual monsters or REM songs like we joked about a couple years ago on this show.
Yes. We will actually do that, and it will be good.
Yes, because I like REM a lot, and I think there's a lot to say.
Yeah, the Monster Manual show will probably be closer to this show than the REM one, but the REM one I think will still be good.
Yeah. There's plenty to laugh about with REM, though.
That is 100% true.
Yeah. This is coming out a little while after kind of a big swell that we've had across the network. We record these in batches, so sorry this isn't more responsive. But since the new season of Bonfireside Chat came out, we're getting more interest and stuff. So if you have come over from that particular show, welcome. Hope that, you know, you didn't mind we didn't talk about the game too much.
Yes.
But yeah, check it out. These episodes are evergreen. Go back and take a look. And we're really proud of this, so we're happy to have you.
Yeah, this is what the show is. So yes.
Ratings and reviews, we have seen demonstrably that makes a huge difference. So if you have not rated or reviewed us on iTunes, that is a great way to help us get more exposure.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you very much. You know, listen to other shows, do all those things. Until next time, who is Trumbo?
Who is Brewdog?
Who is Brewdog?
Well...